presence of God, the power of the Holy Ghost fell. That's what I want. Amen. I came back tonight looking for nothing less. Thank you so much for coming back out to the house of the Lord, for coming and being faithful to God's house. And Pastor, thank you again for just everything. Thank you for your time, for your giving, and just everything. We greatly do appreciate it. And we're just here to exalt Jesus and see him lifted up. And let's let the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. Amen. Before I get into my message tonight, I was going to share a little bit, if that's all right, just for a few minutes. I'm kind of just going to tie in, maybe build up some faith before I preach. Just a few weeks ago, had the opportunity to go and spend about a little less than 2 weeks in Pakistan. We were at two different locations in Pakistan, and I took a couple of our preachers that just graduated the School of Ministry, and so us three went. And man, we just had a time over there. We went anywhere from street ministry to the slave camps to crusades, ministering in churches, pastors' conferences, got to pour into some leaders that are there just trying to. For those of you that don't know, Pakistan is anywhere between 97 and 99% Muslim. There's only 1% that has claimed Christianity. It's a country that is bound by quite a lot. And we were able to go and minister and just many different times. I could take my whole sermon and I have to tell you about everything that happened. But just to hit a few of the highlights, we were able to minister to some pastors, and we had several that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We had somewhere before the last night, we had had about somewhere between 500 to 800 people saved in the span of about 8 days, born again. Most of them were former Muslims. Many of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And one of the most amazing ministries that we had a chance to go to, there's this place called Bricklands. And over there in Pakistan, slavery is still a real thing. It doesn't look quite like it used to, in the sense that there's not a bill of sale that you can transfer over to. Rather, it's a debt that they owe, that they basically, it is set up, they will never be able to pay their debt. In fact, they are working a debt that is up to 3 or 4 and 5 generations long, that they have inherited the debt. It is set up in such a way that these slaves, they call it Bricklands because they make the brick, very similar to to a time in Egypt when they were making the brick for Pharaoh. They are there, and these families that are born into slavery, that they have it set up in such a way that they charge them what little food they give them, what little food coverage and life that they have. They charge them in such a way that they're never able to pay off their debt. And so it's basically, it is slavery. They're called slaves, and these families are born. We've got to go minister, and I tell you what, when the van pulled up, seen about, 200 of them out there, and my heart was breaking. They were getting out of the van, said, "Come on, Brother Stephen, it's time to come preach." And I just had to sit there for about 15 minutes and regain my composure, because I seen a little boy about my son's age walking around. And I told the gentleman that I was with, I said, "You guys will have to come back one day. See this through the eyes of a father, because it just hits you differently. To know that there's no future for them. There's nothing, no aspirations they have, no dreams, no future. It is all right there. They're going to inherit they're going to inherit the debt of their father and their mother, and they live and die in slavery, never knowing anything else." We were able to minister the gospel unto them. Many of them were saved. We were able to feed them and just give them what little bit of comfort we could during that time. But one of the most amazing ministries I've ever witnessed is they took us, one of the places we were in Karachi, which is south Pakistan, took us about a 4-hour drive outside of the city in a very rural area. They acquired about 7 acres of land, and here they are making their own village. This is what they are doing. This is their ministry. They've got these houses. They're very poor conditions, but it's a house nonetheless. Just 4 brick walls. Some of them are just stick and mud and clay. And they've got some farm animals out there. They grow their own crops. And this is the ministry that they do. They go back to the Bricklands as they can. They purchase these families out of slavery. They bring them back to this place. They keep them there. That's where they live. And they can't go back to the city, because if they was able to be found, they could be reclaimed, because there's no record of their debt being paid. So they keep them in this place, and they teach them the gospel. As of just when I was there, they have just over 16 families, about a little over 100 people that they have rescued. They target families with kids so that the kids do not have to be raised in slavery. But this is the testimony that they shared. This is what they had to say about their circumstance. They looked at us, and this is their testimony. They said, "We have been freed twice over." They said, "And once we have been freed by the blood of Jesus, and his church broke our chains." Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. They had no hope, no nothing. And they said, "We've been free twice over. We've been set free. Our sins of chains of sin have been set free by the blood, and his church has set our physical chains free." Amen. Hallelujah. I asked them, I said, "What is it? What does it cost to get a family out?" And they told me anywhere from about $2,000 to $3,000, $3,500. Then it costs about $1,000 to build them a home, and then they sustain it all themselves. They have church services on not quite daily, but teaching daily, and just training up these believers. Every single one of them have been born again. Many of them are being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so I determined in my heart, the next time I go next fall, we're going to raise some money, and we are going to go, and we are going to set as many families free as we can. Hallelujah. Just an amazing ministry. So when you pray, pray for the souls over in Pakistan. Pray for the ministries that are over there. And I'll share this, and then I'll get on to my preaching. But the last night we were there, we were in North Pakistan. We flew to Lahore, Pakistan, and traveled a couple hours out, did some ministry there, leadership conference, street ministries, went to the Bricklands. And then the last night we were there, we had a outdoor crusade that we had advertised for, and they had been telling the city about, and it was a pretty large city. And at that night, so we got there, over 5,000 people came out to hear the gospel. I mean, just looking at a sea of people. That night, we just preached a simple message of Jesus the Savior. We preached a message of hope. We preached a message of chains being broken and lives being changed in the blood of Jesus. And that night, I'm here to testify, I've never witnessed this before in my life, but that night, over 3,000 people gave their heart and life to God. Oh, hallelujah. We asked them, we said, "If you've never been saved and you want to receive Jesus Christ," most of them were Muslim, some of them had never heard the name of Jesus. Over 3,000 people stood up, and I went back, it caught me off guard. I went back and I reiterated, "If you have been saved before and you're backslid, please sit down. We will get to you in just a moment. But for right now, this is only for those that have never called upon the name of Jesus." A couple hundred people sat back down once they realized, but still standing was well over 3,000 souls. We prayed them through to salvation. A roar went up in that place, crying on the blood of Jesus as God began to save all of them. Amen. In about 20 minutes, amen, I seen the glory fall over there, and instantaneously hundreds were baptized in the Holy Ghost, beginning to speak in other tongues. I'm going to tell you, he still does it. I said, he still does it. Amen. Oh, this isn't a thing of the past. He still saves. He still delivers. He still breaks the chains. The blood is still enough. After that, just for a little bit, after that, about I don't know, maybe half an hour went by of the praying and interceding and saving and Holy Ghost filled, and I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me. I went and grabbed the microphone again, and I said, "God, I want to talk to you for a minute." And I just preached for about 15 minutes on Jesus the healer. Amen. Oh, before it was over, I'm going to skip it past a lot of stuff because I got to preach. But before it was over with, these are just some of the miracles that we witnessed. We witnessed the blinded eyes receiving their sight. We witnessed the deaf ears open. We witnessed the lame getting up and walking and leaping and dancing. We witnessed the dumb that could not talk all their entire life. We watched God open up their mouths, and they begin to shout the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you've come too late to tell me that God is done moving and he's done healing. He still works miracles. He still performs greatness. He's still worthy to be exalted. And he's not done in this generation. There is a knockout. There is a move of glory that God wants us in on the latter day church. And I come to testify tonight, and it's not just for Pakistan, it's for America, it's for Beaumont, Texas, it's for Victory, amen, come on somebody, it is for this church, for this people of today, hallelujah. Amen. I could tell you for an hour of everything that God did. But all the miracles that we've seen, all the greatness that we've seen God done, we came back and we got on that plane and I looked over at those guys and said, I don't know about you, but I don't want just that to be a one-time thing. I want to start seeing that in our country. I want to start seeing that in our services. Amen. If you want that, would you just lift up your hands and let faith begin to rise? Amen. Just lift up the name of Jesus and let him know, God, we want to see you move like that. We want you to save. We want you to deliver. We want you to set free. Come and heal. Let it happen in this service tonight. Place your anointing on this service today, God. Place your spirit upon us. Heal, deliver, set free, baptize. Do everything that you do when your glory comes. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles if you will. We're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Amen. Was that all right? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you. Amen. Because I'm going to preach on faith tonight. And I said all that because I want you to know that God still does miracles. In case you were unaware, God still does the miraculous. And I believe it can happen in this house tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You need a healing in your body. I believe there's the Holy Ghost in the house that can heal your body. You need to be baptized in the Spirit that he can baptize you tonight. Amen. God can do the impossible. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 5. Turn there with you if you would. Mark chapter 5. Amen. 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 If you believe that, just shout hallelujah. Amen. Well, all right. Where two or three are gathered. Amen. We're going to believe on that right now. Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. The Bible says, And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew. Where anybody ever felt like that before? That everything you do and everything you try, you just come up empty-handed and worse off than you was before you went. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's a remedy tonight. I said, there's a remedy tonight. Amen. Oh, when she had heard of Jesus, she heard of the remedy. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. First she said, if I may touch his cloak, but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I believe that's what God wants to say over somebody tonight. Go in faith and be whole of that plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Oh, I'm not trying to preach everywhere, but let me just tell you, the moment faith begins to build up, the moment you witness things and say, that can happen for me, all of a sudden hell's going to do something to try to divert that faith. He just witnessed a miracle. I mean, this isn't in my notes, but I feel the Holy Ghost right here. He just witnessed. You have just heard about miracles, and your faith is rising. And if you're not careful, before the altar service even gets here, doubt is going to change your mind and make you think that that's not for you. He's going to try to make you think that's not that, that was their miracle, but it can't be yours. Doubt tried to come in. Amen. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James, John the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this to do and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother, the damsel, them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. Well, they were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you for standing. I know that was a bit of reading, but I wanted you to get the whole picture right here. You just pray with me. My voice is kind of struggling right now, but I believe the Holy Ghost is going to help us. Amen. Amen. Brother Corey, if you don't mind, could I get a little bit more monitor up here? That would help me out tremendously. Amen. Thank you. In this passage that we have just read, we have two individuals. We have Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and we have the woman with the issue of blood. One is a man of position and authority. Another, a woman so insignificant, her name is not even recorded in Scripture. One is a man of power. He's a man of notability. Everybody knows who Jairus is. He's a ruler. He's somebody important. And the other is simply so insignificant. Nobody knows her name. Nobody cares about her story. Nobody stops when she began to speak. But yet what I love about it is that while he is on his way to heal a notable man's daughter, an important man's, he stops in his tracks to help somebody that nobody knows who she is. Nobody knows where she came from. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you what, the cry of help will stop Jesus every time. I said the cry of help. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what your last name is. It don't matter what your story is. God says there's a need. I know how to meet it. There's a need. I'm a need maker. Amen. He's the one. I'm so glad to know that the same Jesus that'll heal the daughter of an important man is the same Jesus that'll stop. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, it don't matter who you are in the house. If you got a need, God wants to answer. If you've got a miracle you need, Jesus is the one that can meet it. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. Amen. He wants to work a miracle in your life. Tell your neighbor, he wants to work it in your life. Come on, we're going to build faith up in this house tonight, and God is going to move. But you've got to believe that God wants to do it for you. I say you got to believe God wants to do it for you, because Jesus is attracted to need. Oh, I said, Jesus, Jairus could have sent a servant to go fetch Jesus. I'm sure he's got a number of them that would. But he was so driven by a need. He said, "I can't risk nobody else going. I can't say there is a need that is driving me to the street." He don't go to these streets. He's too noble. He's too high on up the ladder. But when you've got a need, the need doesn't care who you are or where you're at. The need just says, "I've got to get to where Jesus is at." Has anybody ever been driven by a need before? I've been driven to an altar because I got a need that I can't fix myself. I can't do it. My friends can't do it. But I'm calling on the one that can. I'm calling on the one that can fix it all. I'm calling on the one that can make broken things healed. I'm calling on the one driven by need. You know, I'm convinced the reason a lot of people don't get their miracle is because they don't need a miracle yet. A lot of people, the reason people don't get Jesus is because they want him, but they don't need him. Come on, somebody. If I was to say how many in this house would like to experience the power of God, and then everybody wants it, right? Everybody wants it. God don't come down to those that want. He comes down to those that need it. Hallelujah. How do you know that, Brother Stephen? The scripture even told us many people were thronging him and touching him. I want a healing. I want a healing. I want a touch. I want a miracle. But they touched him and nothing happened. But in the midst of all the people that wanted something, there was a woman that pressed through harder. She said, get out of my way. I'm pressing through the crowd. You want him? I don't want him. I need him. I've been to every other place. I've tried every other doctor, so get out of my way, because I need something that only he can fulfill. I need something that only he can do. And when you are driven by a need, heaven will always answer. Heaven will always come when there's a need that recognizes Jesus. Driven by need, amen. A lot of people were driven there because they wanted a healing, because they wanted a touch. But the moment somebody touched the hem of his garment, Jesus turned around and said, I was just contacted by a need, and I felt, you want to know how powerful it is, a need is? Jesus didn't even have to speak to her situation. As soon as the need came in contact with divinity, she was healed. What are you saying, Brother Stephen? I ain't got to touch you. Pastor ain't got to touch you. When you get in the presence of God with the need and the faith to believe, heaven can come down and meet you right where you're at. Hallelujah. Oh, she was driven by need. Hallelujah. Oh, I find it interesting. I got to hurry. I find it interesting that both of these people was associated with the number 12. Let me get a drink of this water. Amen. The Bible says that the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says that Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. What's the importance in that, Brother Stephen? If you look at biblical numerology, it's very important. Because you want to know what the number 12 means in biblical numerology? It is the number of completion. Whoo, somebody better shout with me in this house. I said it is the number of completion. Amen. The Bible says that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform. Come on, somebody. Can I read that in the Amplified Version? The Bible says, I am convinced, he says, and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, developing and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Amen. You want to preach in this morning or this evening? Amen. It ain't over till God says it's over. I came to preach to somebody tonight. It might seem like it's over. God's not done with you. God's not done with your story. God's not done. It ain't over till God says it's over. I forgot to introduce my title. Maybe that's because somebody needed it right now. It ain't over till God says it's over. I know you got 1,000 voices screaming in your ear telling you just give up. Just walk away. You prayed many times. You've been in that healing line. Yeah, but it ain't over until God says it's over. And I come to tell somebody, your story ain't over yet. Your miracle can still happen. Your miracle can still take place if you believe for it. It ain't over. Amen. There's a lot of doctors that told her, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. It's over. Thank God she didn't believe that. She pressed through the crowd with the doctor's report on her mind. She pressed through the crowd with the critics laughing at her. But she believed something. Until I hear him say, it's done. I'm not done yet. I'm not done praying. I'm not done believing. It ain't over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. Somebody tell your neighbor it's not over. Oh, come on, prophesy to him. Tell him it's not over. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not over. I wish I could have seen her walking down that road. You keep pushing, honey. It ain't over yet. Jarius, don't you give up. It ain't over yet. Don't you give up in this house. God's not done yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh. Faith builds up. He starts believing. Then all of a sudden, the messenger comes. Is this all right? Can I just preach to you tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the messenger comes and says, "Sir, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. Don't bother the man of God anymore. It's already over. Isn't it just like hell? The moment that you start believing, and the moment that hell's going to come and put doubts in your mind, you've been here before. You've been in the services like this before. It's over. It's already done. You might as well just call it quits. You might as well just give up. Amen. And Bible says that Jairus was told. Amen. And some people, listen, there's a lot of people that are spiritually blind to what is going on. They don't see the bigger picture. They don't see God at work. So don't take what they say and apply it to your life. Take what God says and apply it to your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother. Amen. I'm going to need that. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of people that are blind. They cannot see what is going on. They are unable to see beyond the current circumstances. But when circumstances tell Jairus, it's over. And circumstances tell Jairus, you can't go further. And circumstances tell Jairus, just give up. Jesus turns around and says, now let me counter the circumstances and tell you, be not afraid, but only believe. I come to tell somebody, I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care what the critics say. Only believe. Only believe God. Only trust him, and he will work it out. Only believe. You know that word only in the Greek means? It means apart from, in solitude, and without any other variation. You know what Jesus is saying? Make sure there is no room for anything but faith. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, make sure there, do not fear, only believe. Only believe. Only, but I'm going to keep saying it until somebody gets it. Only believe. But the doctor said, only believe. But the circumstances said, only believe. But God, they said, only. When you only believe, and he's all you got, heaven can't help but move. Heaven can't help but answer. When you only believe. Only believe. Only believe. I'm trying to move on, but I feel the Holy Ghost right here trying to tell somebody, only get doubt out of your mind. Amen. Get the questions out of your mind. Quit thinking about what if. Only believe. He said it. I'm going to stand on it. If he said it, I'm going to believe it. If he said it, there ain't no room for nothing else. Only. Only believe. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's telling Jairus, don't believe what you hear. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Don't believe what you hear. Don't, but well, but I feel. Don't believe what you feel. Oh, amen. We are an emotional people that do a lot of things based off what we feel. I'm going to blow some of y'all's theology right now. Salvation is not a feeling. The Holy Ghost is not a feeling. Amen. Miracle is not a feeling. Do I feel him sometimes? Yes, but that isn't what he is. Because if it's just a feeling, there are days I don't feel saved. Somebody, there are days I don't feel like I got the victory, brother. There are days I don't feel like I've got authority, but it's not about what I feel. It's about what his word said. And his word said, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word says, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The word says, we are victorious and we win. Don't believe what you see. Don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what you feel. Believe the Word of God. Oh, I said believe the Word of God, because your feelings will get you all messed up, but the Word of God will never lead you astray. Oh, hallelujah. I said your feelings will get you all messed up, but the Word of God, you know what he was saying? There's no room in my life. I wish somebody would get this right here and make up in your mind. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for fear. There's no room for uncertainty. There's no room for what is. There is only faith right here. But you don't know what it's going to be. No, I don't. But that's why it's called faith, because I don't know, but he does. And I choose to trust him anyhow. So I'm going to tell you, you can't believe God and be filled with fear at the same time. Amen. Come on, somebody. You can't believe and doubt at the same time. It's impossible. Oh, come on, somebody. It's going to be one or the other. Are you going to live in doubt? Are you going to live in fear? Or are you going to live in faith? This very walk is a walk of faith. If I was to ask you, can you prove to me you're saved? You can't prove it. You can't show me a document. You can't. There's not something you can hand me. Sure, we can see it. Well, it's in my actions. Amen. But people go to therapy and get free all the time and change. And some people that aren't saved change. I understand nothing but the blood can save you. Amen. But the whole fact that we are saved is simply an act of faith. Come on. I mean, how else can I explain the sins that I've committed were all washed away in one instant? Do I have any born-again believers in the house that knows what you've been? I said, do I have anybody that's been washed in the blood? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. I know what I was saved from. I know what he wrote. It's a walk of faith. I'm saved because he said I'm saved. I'm free because he said I'm free. And if I believe that he can save me, I believe he can heal me. I believe he can work miracles. I believe he can set free. I believe God can do it because it's a walk of faith. Oh, right now for about 10 seconds, you ought to just lift up your hands and thank God that salvation. Oh, come on, somebody. I need some saints of God right now for the next few seconds. If you've been washed by the blood, if he's applied his blood to your life, thank God. I'm living by faith. I'm not in sin anymore. I'm not bound anymore. I have been set free by the blood of Jesus. Oh, what are you trying to do, Brother Stephen? I'm trying to build your faith up so God can work a miracle. I had about 5 people that are with me right there. I said, I'm trying to build faith up so that God can work a miracle. Somebody needs to believe it can happen for you. You've heard the reports of Sister So-and-so. You've heard the testimony of Brother So-and-so. But somebody needs to believe it can happen for me, and it can happen right now. God is able. God can do it. Somebody say, only believe. Only believe. But Jairus, she's already dead. Oh, she's already dead, Jairus. The doctors have already determined the outcome. Oh, it's all, the outcome's already been determined. Amen. The divorce is already underway. Come on, somebody. The sickness has gone too far. Amen. The devastation has been too great. There's no coming back for this now. You'll look like a fool if you believe now. Can I just preach right now? Amen. I'm going to tell you don't have real faith till faith makes you look like a fool. Is that all right? Amen. I got faith. Unless faith makes you look like a fool, you ain't got real faith. Amen. Because faith will make some people look foolish. You ain't got faith till you're ready to build a boat for 100 years. When you say there's a flood coming and we don't even know what rain is. You don't have faith until you can step out of the boat in the middle of a raging sea simply because Jesus said, come. Peter, you're going to look like a fool if you step out of this boat. This is what faith looks like, fellas. Amen. You don't have faith till you step on a battlefield to face a giant with nothing but a slingshot and a stone. But that's what faith does. Faith brings down giants. Faith will knock down walls. Faith will make a way. And faith will make you look like a fool. Amen. You with me tonight? Amen. You're going to look like a fool if you believe now after what that doctor just got done saying. I've seen a lot of fools in a waiting room that experienced a lot of miracles. I've seen a lot of fools holding the transcripts but lived a different story. I've seen a lot of fools. They were already getting a gravesite ready for them, but God brought them back. If God, that's the case, give me the faith of a fool. Give me the faith to believe in spite of everything, in the middle of everything. Give me the faith to believe. Faith. Oh, you know what I wish had happened in this house? I wish some people would get plain foolish tonight. My. Have any fools in the house? I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. Have any fools in the house? I said, have any fool? Amen. I don't care what the circumstances are. I choose to only believe. Brother, I don't care what the report said. I choose to believe. They're going to call you a fool. Then call me a fool. But I'm standing on the word of God. I believe that he can, and I believe that he will. Jesus walked into that room, amen, with the fool. I'm going to tell you, you get a fool and Jesus in one room, anything can happen. I'm having fun if you can't tell. I'm going to tell you, you get a fool and Jesus in one room, amen, it don't matter what's dead. Dead things will come back up. It don't matter what's sick. Sick things will be healed. It don't matter what's lost. Lost things can be saved when you get in the room with Jesus with the faith of a fool. He walked in, and the Bible says, how do you know he's a fool? They laughed him to scorn. Come on. Jairus, what are you trying to do? Hold on. They were weeping a second ago, and weeping went to laughter in a split of a second. That's what real faith looks like. Real faith will take people from crying to laughter in a split second. And so what does Jesus do when they start laughing? He starts thinning out the crowd. You don't want to hear this. Amen. I'm going to preach it anyways. Sometimes in order to get your miracle, you got to thin out the crowd. Sometimes in order to break free of that thing that's had you bound, you got to cut some other stuff loose. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus said, hey, ain't no room for doubt in this house. Things that are dragging you down, it's time to show it the door and get it out of the house because there is, you know what we need to do sometimes? God, I'm desperate enough for a miracle. I'll clean house if I have to. I'll cut rid of some things. I'll get rid of some relationships. I'll cut loose of some stuff. Start thinning out the crowd. You know what he was doing? He was preparing for the miraculous. Could Jesus have raised her right there in the midst of everything? Of course he could have. But I believe he was trying to teach Jairus something. There are some things in your life you're going to have to push aside if you want the miraculous work of God. Hey man, can I just tell it to you honest and straightforward? Hey man, there are some people in your life that may very well be stopping your miracle. Well, I want a breakthrough, Brother Stephen. I want God to break. But you keep holding on to the things that are holding the chains. You keep holding on to the relationships that drag you back to that place that you was, that you're trying to leave. But every time you break through, you come back and you wonder why you keep falling back into it. It's because you keep opening the door with the people you surround yourself with. Oh, come on, somebody. The people that surround yourself with are the opposite of where you're headed. And you wonder why you take one step forward, two steps back. But the moment you start cutting some people off, I'm not saying be rude. I'm not saying be unfriendly and un-Jesus-like. like, but make like Jesus. Say, I love you, but it's time for you to get out of my room, because you don't go where I'm going. You're not wanting to go where I'm heading, and I refuse to stay in a room full of dead things when there is life ahead of me. My God, I wish somebody would make up in your mind, I'm cutting some things out. I'm cutting some things loose. Pressing forward to my miracle, to my breakthrough. There's life in the room once we start thinning some things out. Is that all right? Amen. Am I okay, brother? Amen. Amen. All right. Pastor said I'm okay. Amen. Listen, you get mad, it's all right. My truck's leaving town first thing tomorrow morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You can pray through it over to the next time I get to come, if we get to come. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you right now, only faith. I said only faith. I said only believe. Jesus said, Jerry has stepped into that room, and everybody else is saying it's hopeless. Everybody else is saying it's impossible. Amen. The doctor said, and Jerry has found himself a corner and stood in that corner and said, only believe. Only believe. I know what he said to me in that dirt floor. I know what he said to me out there on the street. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. I choose to believe what God said to me. And the Bible says, and when he had come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Well, we know that she was in fact dead, right? We know that. The Bible says she was dead. So Jesus was not confused. Amen. Come on, somebody. He wasn't confused. He didn't get it wrong. Then why did he speak to a dead person and say she was just sleeping? Have you ever noticed Jesus rarely ever refers to death as death? He always refers to it as sleeping. When the daughter was dead, he said, oh, she's just sleeping. When they said Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, what did he say? Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Amen. You believe what you want to. You want to know why? Amen. Amen, Walker. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to know why I believe he referred to it as sleeping? Because he is so powerful. He is so completely the master of death. He said, it is as easy for me to raise the dead as it is to wake somebody that's asleep. So don't look at me and tell me, well, my problem's too big. He looked at those that were dead. They said they're dead. Jesus said they just sleeping. And with one word from me, I can wake them up. That's how much power he has. That's how much authority he has. Death ain't even death to him. He said, I'll deal with death when I get in the grave. And he did, because 3 days later, Jesus got back up with all power and all of the, my God. And if you don't think he's got the power to raise your situation up and to bring dead things back to life, he still has all power and all authority. Oh, glory to God. I said, he'll still do it. I said, he'll still. Somebody lift up your hands right now and say, I believe he'll do it for me. I believe he can do it. He's still got it. He's still got the power. He's still got the ability. He is still in control. Oh, some called her dead. Jesus called her sleeping. What you call lost, Jesus calls redeemable. I wish somebody helped me right here. What you call abandoned, God calls loved. What you call damaged beyond repair, God looks at it and says, I can restore that. Amen. The Bible says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but I am not destroyed, because I know what it looks like right now. But this thing ain't over until God says it's over. Everything going on around, but I choose to believe it ain't over. Oh, somebody shout, it ain't over. Say it like you mean it, it ain't over. It ain't over until God said, and I got news for you. God sent me here to tell somebody it ain't over yet. Ooh, I said, it ain't over yet. God is still working for you. I wonder how many miracles we missed out on simply because something or someone that we have allowed to have too much influence in our life and cause doubt to come in. Oh, how many miracles, how many breakthroughs, how many healings have we missed out on because doubt got in our mind? And even though I just witnessed it in the street, I step into the room covered with death. And I choose to believe what I heard and what I saw based instead of what he told me. Come on, amen. Listen, I'm going to break something down for you. I understand it and I get it. It is not always the will of God to heal. I believe that, all right? You believe that with me? Amen. I believe that for whatever reason in his infinite wisdom, he chooses not to. I believe that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what else. The Pentecostal church has hidden behind that excuse to not believe for great miracles. Am I okay? Amen. We have hit it. Well, Jesus just chooses not to heal. I believe he chooses. But, you know, in the Bible, most of the time, he did. He healed a whole lot more than he didn't heal. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So back then he healed more than he didn't heal. Why are we going to sit here with hardly no healings, hardly no miracles? And we're, well, Jesus just, you know, sometimes chooses. I believe he sometimes chooses not to. But I believe there's a lot of times Jesus said, I would heal if somebody would just get the faith and call on my name. And when you pray for them, believe that they're going to be healed. And if they will believe that they're going to be healed, healing will take place a whole lot more often than it does. Are you with me? Is that all right? Amen. I didn't ruin you, did I? Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to move and work a lot more miracles than he does right now. I fully believe that. I believe that God is ready and able and willing and wants to if he would just get people that would believe. If he would just get a faith that would say, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't see the outcome. But I just choose to believe that you are working things out for my good. Don't you let that devil lie to you and tell you it's over when God ain't put his seal on it yet. Don't you let that devil whisper in your ear and say it's hopeless. With God, all things are possible to them that believe. Oh, come on, somebody. I said all things are possible. The dead can get up. The blinded eyes can open. Cancer can get healed. Amen. The surgery don't have to take place. If God steps in and says it and we believe his word, we can just let faith raise. Baby, come on. Come to the end. I'm getting ready to close. And the Bible says that he took the damsel by the hand. He started funneling in the faith that was coming from that corner where Jairus was standing. Oh, and he said, I took the damsel by the hand. And he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And you know what the Bible says? And straightway. I said, and immediately the damsel arose. She didn't just get up. She started walking again. I'm going to tell somebody, God wants to touch you in such a way you don't just get up. You can walk it off. You can walk off everything that the devil has been trying to get you in. You can walk it off. When God says get up, you can get up. Amen. I'm going to tell you, he's still got the power. Oh, listen, when Jesus says to get up, there ain't enough power in hell to keep you down. Oh, I wish I had somebody believe with me right now. I said, when Jesus says get up, you can take it for what it's worth. But God sent me here to tell somebody, it's time to get up now. I said, it's time to get up now. You can choose to walk out, amen, still in despair. Or you can walk out with your head up, claiming your miracle, claiming your victory, knowing that God isn't done yet. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to share this and I'm going to close. October 20th, 2014, my dad, for a list of reasons that I'm not going to go into, my dad was in a circumstance he shouldn't have been in. He was shot at point-blank range, not once, not twice, five times. Was shot at point-blank range. One of the bullets went into his stomach, went through his lungs, came about that close to his spine. Another bullet went through his hand, his arm came out of his shoulder. Another one went directly in his chest at point-blank range, laying on the ground. Pierced the section of his heart. And twice, he was shot in the head. Came down, came out of his neck. Another one came out the back of his cheek. Five times. I was in Missouri at a conference when I got the call. 17 years old. And I get the phone call. Your dad's been shot. Couldn't get home quick enough. My flight was flying out the next morning. Couldn't get nothing out sooner. This was in California, where I was born and raised. They got him there. The doctors, when they got there, looked at him and said, "We don't even know how he's still alive, but there's really nothing we can do. Here's the problem. His lungs are collapsing because a bullet went through it, but his heart is also failing." I can't remember the terminology of it, but there is a sac that goes around the heart that protects the heart. And the bullet had penetrated it, and it fell apart. He said, "We've got to get back in and sew that together, or your dad's heart is going to fail internally." I don't know if it was bleed out, or I don't know what the terminology was. They just said, "We've got two problems. We need to do lung surgery on him to repair that hole in his lungs, or he's going to die. We've also got to get in and put that thing back together, and it doesn't go back on its own, so we've got to go in and manually do it, and we can't get to both of them." So we had people all across the country praying. You probably got the phone call. It was one of the ones praying right here. People started praying, calling on the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, thank God there's something we can call on. That's better than the highest degree that a doctor has. I've got a physician. I've got a physician that ain't never lost nobody on the table that he didn't want to lose. He ain't never met a sickness he can't heal. He's never met a circumstance too far that he can't bring back. So we started calling on that name. The doctor came back in. It just so happened we had an atheist doctor. I'm closing right here. But it just so happened our doctor was a profound atheist. They don't believe in God. Don't believe in miracles. Don't believe it's just what I can do. That's what he said, what I can do. He came back in that room and he said, "I don't really know how to explain this because I've never seen it before." But he said, "You know the problem we had about his heart and his lungs? Well, looks like we're going to go with the lungs." We said, "What about his heart? You said that, I mean, surely that's more important." He said, "Yeah, you'd think so. But," he said, "that sack came apart that we have to go in and sew back together." So we just looked at it and it's coming back all on its own, piecing itself back together. I asked him, I said, "Hold, is that supposed to," they asked him, I wasn't there yet, "is that supposed to happen?" This is his word. The atheist said, "This is the best I know to describe it, that somebody put their hands inside of his heart and is putting it back together before we could ever even get in there." Oh, I said, "Oh, I know who those hands are. We've had those hands before. Huh? We've had those hands. Don't you worry about a thing. It's all going to be okay." The atheist went back in the room. "We're going to continue on with the lungs because the heart is, you know, being put back together." They went back in and they had to go in and fix some stuff in his heart, but it kept him alive and his lungs and his heart. And after everything was over, they said, "We've done everything we can. There's nothing else we can do. He's still on life support. He's still got an oxygen tank tube running down his throat. He can't, I mean, he's just lifeless." I said, "There's nothing else we can do." I think it was the fourth or the fifth day where I'm standing in his room. I'm sitting there. There's a preacher that had flown in from Texas that was there sitting across. I was sitting there alone. He had just been in that room all day long reading the Word of God. I don't know how many books of the Bible he read to him in those 2 days. Just sat there and proclaimed the Word of God over him. We had people around the clock praying. I was sitting in there beside him, 17 years old, sitting in here next to my dad. The doctors have said they lost him 4 times on the table. Brought him back. And they told him, they said, "The next time he goes, there's nothing we can do. He won't survive coming back. He's so weak. It's out of our hands." And that's exactly what God was looking for, was it to be out of their hands. I was sitting there watching My dad's lifeless body hadn't so much as barely just twitched his fingers. All of a sudden, an alarm went off. I said, that can't be good. I called the nurse. Before the nurse got in there, another alarm went off. Another one went off, and the nurse and the doctor came running in there. He looked over at me. He said, you need to go get your mom because it's time. When we came back in, my dad was flatlined. He's gone. So there's nothing we can do. His body isn't even receiving the oxygen that's on him anymore. His heart just stopped. His lungs, everything. I was in that room standing over this body. Several minutes gone by. We're standing, the doctors and the nurses are on the side, standing outside the door. I went in the room and got my mom and that preacher. Everybody else started praying. My mom collapsed at the foot of his bed. The preacher's on one side, I'm on the other side. And I'm going to tell you, I knew exactly how Jairus felt. How do you know that hell was whispered in Jairus' ear? Because I was right there. Brother Jacob, all the hell started whispering into me. All your prayers, nothing. You're supposed to be the preacher. You're supposed to be a man of God. I'm gonna win. I'm taking his story. I'm taking his life. I'm taking his testimony. Because my dad was not in the state he should have been. If he'd have died right there, he probably would have went to hell. We stood there. I wish I could say I just had the power and the authority and the boldness to speak. I didn't. I couldn't even pray. The best way I know to describe it is there was just like a cloud of thick from hell was in that room. It felt so thick, I felt like I was suffocating. Stood there. I'm looking. All of a sudden, I couldn't even hardly get the words out, brother. Finally, I just got it. I said, Jesus. That's all I could get out. I said, Jesus. When I did, best way I know to describe it, something began to penetrate that cloud of darkness. So when I said it. I said, I'm going to say that again a little stronger. Jesus. Something penetrated it again. So I just kept saying, Jesus. 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 I don't know how many times I said it. The brother started joining in with me. After a little while of saying that, hey man, I felt that darkness just begin to, until it wasn't there anymore. And then we begin to pray. The Holy Ghost fell in that house, in that little hospital room. We begin to speak in a heavenly language. Hey man, we begin to pray and believe. Right now, he'd been gone for minutes and minutes and minutes. Hey man, we begin to pray, and I felt another cloud come down. But it wasn't a dark cloud. It came down, and when it got to the top of my head, I felt something electric start to happen. I watched that cloud sit down, and when it sat on the top of my dad's head with my own eyes, I watched him breathe up, stand up and breathe. The doctors came in and said, oh, that's just his life force leaving him. All of a sudden, beep, beep, beep. I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. They came running over. They found out his heart rate went back to perfect. They went to put the oxygen back on him. He didn't even need it, because when God brought him back, he never needed anything again. I'm telling you, there's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power. There's still authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, no, 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 he woke up, and this is just the way I like to tell it. He died four times. They brought him back four times, but God brought him back once, and that's all it needed. That was in 2014, 11 years ago. I just seen my dad this weekend up in Missouri, alive and well, a walking, breathing miracle. The hospital started calling him the miracle man. Let's go see the miracle. I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing too far gone than my God. And pick it up, back up. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, everybody stand all across this house. Now maybe you understand why I'm so passionate about things not being over till God says it's over. Because even after that miracle, You know, the doctors came in and said, by some miracle, he's going to live. But he's going to be a vegetable the rest of his life. He'll never walk. He won't even be able to feed himself. He's going to be a vegetable. God turned that story around too. 2 weeks to the day, I'm wheeling my dad out of the hospital in a wheelchair in the floor. And when I look back, I'm not exaggerating. I look back, the doctors and all the nurses on that whole section, the ICU unit and then in the regular hospital, they all knew this is the day. This is what they said. The miracle man's leaving today. The miracle man's leaving. When I rolled him in the foyer of that hospital, I look back, there was a line of doctors and nurses that came to witness. The report still was, he's not going to walk again. My dad stopped me in the middle of that foyer. I said, Dad, what are you doing? We got the car's right out there. He said, I know. Help me up. I said, oh, Dad, hold on. I can wheel you. He said, no, they all said they couldn't do it. They all said it was impossible. But while we got an audience, I want them to see firsthand the miracle working power of God. My dad stood up and in front of all those doctors and nurses in the Fresno hospital, I walked out of that place, and they all knew. The atheist said, I'm not saying I believe that there's a God, but there has got to be something that, because I couldn't do it, but there was something greater that was at work. It's not over yet. All of that happened, which is why I am sure, not of myself, but I am sure of whom I serve. That if God speaks the word, you can get up tonight. If God speaks, and I felt the Holy Ghost put this message on my heart. He told me to come here and preach it to this church because somebody in here needs to believe it ain't over yet. Your story ain't over yet. There's another chapter, a chapter of restoration. A chapter of healing, a chapter of miracle working power. Oh, but you know what you got to do? Only believe. If you can only believe, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing God can't do in this house. Here's what I'd like to do. If you are here and you need a miracle in your life or your family, or maybe it's not even in you personally, but you say, God, I need. I mean, you don't want a miracle because everybody wants a miracle. I'm in this house saying you need a miracle. That there is no other way but that God shows up. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost showed up tonight on a Sunday night in Beaumont, Texas. And I believe he wants to bring some things back to life tonight. Do I have anybody that will believe with me and say, in faith, I'm coming down and I'm believing that God is going to turn some things around, that it ain't over yet? Come on, would you come? Oh, Ramamamahataye. Come on, as my wife begins to sing, would you bring that need before God tonight? Come on, come on. We ain't coming just to sit a little prayer. We ain't coming just to spend a little bit of time. We are coming in desperation. Come on, come on. I want you to come bring that need and bring your desperation that I am willing to linger. I am willing to pray. I am willing to do whatever it takes. Come on, come on. I believe that he's here. I believe that is working right now. Come on, somebody stretch out your faith and believe right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, only believe. Father, we believe you for the by your power, by your power, in the name of Jesus, work the miracle in Jesus' name. We choose to believe your word. We choose to believe that you're working. Oh, right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, that's your miracle working power. released right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, do it, Holy Ghost. That's it. Come on, girls. Come on, I feel the river of God moving in this house. Let faith arise right now. Let faith arise in the name of Jesus. We believe you for miracles. We believe you for healing. Do what only you can do. We speak power in the name of Jesus. Somebody stand on your faith right now. I believe it. In the name of Jesus. Work the miracle in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, in the name of Jesus. I feel faith rising in the atmosphere. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see the miraculous. Shut up. the Holy Ghost moving in this house. Come on, there's healing in this house. There's healing right here. Do it, Holy Ghost. Do it, Holy Ghost. We believe. We believe. We believe. We believe. Come on, come on. The Spirit of God is moving in this house. Hallelujah. We believe you for it. We believe you for it. We believe you for it. Every miracle, every healing, in the name of Jesus. If you're praying, I want you to keep praying. But I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house. Oh, I feel healing virtue being released in these altars right here. I do. Amen. Listen, just a few weeks ago, I've seen 3,000 souls saved. I've seen numerous people healed, about every healing you could think of. And I shared you the story of watching the dead being raised. You come too far to tell me. I come too far for you to tell me that God can't do anything. If it's cancer, God can heal cancer. Come on, somebody. Well, regardless of what it is, God has the answer right here. He is the answer. He's the only one you need. We're going to have prayer right here because I believe the healing virtue of God's about to be released. In fact, I tell you what, I want you to come. If you're here and you need a healing in your body, and you believe, I don't want you to come, well, it would be nice. If you're here, you need a healing in your body, and you believe that Jesus will touch you, not can, will touch you right now. Well, we're not just going to preach about it. We're going to act faith out, all right? I know everybody here believes he can, but if you believe he will and you expect him to touch you in this altar and you expect the miracle to happen, I want you to come and stand right here. Come on. Come on. Hey, listen, we ain't running the Holy Ghost out. This ain't killing the service. Because the Spirit of God is about to move and show himself right now. I'll tell you what. There is nothing wrong with the laying on of hands. That's scriptural, all right? Nothing wrong with that. But we have conditioned the Western church that somebody must come and lay hands on you and speak a specific word over you before you can receive your breakthrough, your healing. That's not in the Bible. I was faced with a dilemma, Brother Jacob, when I was there. And I had 3,000 people that stood up wanting to be saved. I'm used to calling those that want to be saved to come on up and let me pray you through to salvation. And good Lord, I can't do that for 3,000 people. So I just said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to believe. And then when we wanted miracles, we started praying. I don't have to touch you. The Holy Ghost needs to touch you. The Spirit of God needs to speak to you, not me. I will touch you. I will believe and we will agree. But it is not by my hand or pastor's hand or any. It is by the power of God and your faith. When your faith meets our faith and they come in contact with His Spirit, all that stuff has to go. And I believe right now that the Holy Ghost is here to do some miracles. Anybody else believe that? We've seen him do it, but I want to see him do it right now. But I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says multiple times when Jesus healed somebody, he said, go thy way. And within a certain amount of time after they went, they received it. God may knock you on the floor right now and you may receive it and you know that you received it. And praise God for it. He can do that. He probably will do that. But he may do it in a way where you walk out saying, I didn't necessarily feel something. But that's when faith comes in. Because when I walk out and I don't see the healing, but I believe his word. I don't feel the healing, but I believe his word. Sometimes the miracle just has to catch up with your faith. I believe that's what the Holy Ghost is going to do right here. I believe he can touch some in a way that you feel it right now. But for those of you that, I just didn't feel it. You got a choice when you leave this house. You walk out in faith and say, my miracle just ain't catched up with my faith yet. Amen. If you believe the Holy Ghost can work a miracle in your life, I want you to lift up your hands. Listen, I don't want no little cute, oh, God, touch me prayer. I want desperation crying out right now. Come on, you got a need that you are desperate for God. Oh, I need some prayer warriors. Come on. I need some Holy Ghost prayer warriors to come and believe with us right now. In the name of Jesus. Let healing virtue be released in Jesus' name. Hey, I feel virtue. I feel virtue. Hey, do it, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Hey, in Jesus' name.
We receive it in Jesus' name. Work the miracle. Doubt in the name of Jesus. We rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. Only believe. Only believe. Only. Hey! Healing virtue be released right now in the name of Jesus. Hey! Oh, that's it, Holy Ghost, do it. In this house. Come on, somebody claim it right now in the name of Jesus. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. He cut. Somebody claim your healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Come on, now it's time to activate that faith. We pray, we believe. Now I believe in faith. You're working it right now. My testimony is in the works. My healing is in the works. It being done right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke fear. We rebuke doubt. We rebuke unbelief. We choose to believe the word of the Lord.